All right, how many of you know that some things will never change? But how comes there's changing? I mean, the world is changing faster than we can even think about it, can't we? How many saw that thing in France coming? Did anybody really see that coming? Oh, we've heard about things like that possibly coming, but anybody surprised with the enormity of that?
Oh, yes.
I think even France was surprised with the enormity of that. You know, we live in a changing world, don't we? We live in a place constantly in flux. How many know that winter's coming soon? How do you know that?
It's cold
outside. And a couple days ago, the wind was howling crazy, like 40 miles an hour or so. So we live in a world that shouldn't change. We are in the process of having the seasons change. We know that people change. We know that boundaries change and countries change. Work changes. The way we live our lives changes. Unfortunately, for some of us, me included, our health can change from day to day. How many's ever had a health change? From day to day. You can be well today and tomorrow not so well. So we live in a place that is constantly changing. We live in a place where relationships change. We live in a place where marriages change. We live in a place where work changes. We live in a place of constant change. How many of you like change?
I don't.
How many like things the way they always should be? How many just want the status quo? I want to get up the same old way I got up. I want to feel, if I'm well, the same way I always felt. I want my work to be great, our marriage to be perfect, my kids to be good. I want things just the way that they are. And I don't like change. And that puts us in a very different situation, because those of us that don't like change, we're in a world that's constantly what?
Changing.
How many remember when butter was not good for you? How many remember that eggs, you'll die from cholesterol? How many remember too much salt's too bad? How many know they changed that all? Now it's okay to have a couple of eggs, put on the butter on the bread, sprinkle on the salt. I don't know whether I'm coming or I'm going. So we live in a world of constant change. Constant change. And those of us my age, a little older, we've lived through a lot of changes, haven't we? How many of you know what aluminum foil is really good for, other than putting it on a turkey?
Yeah.
What's it good for? On the rabbit ears. Right? On the rabbit ears. How many remember when we had three channels? And they were 2, 4, and 11? Sometimes you get 13, nobody watched that stupid thing. And you get 53 if you had the dial that went to UHF or whatever that thing was. Now we have 6,000 channels, we have nothing to watch. Right?
Amen.
We have 6,000 channels. We can record 20 channels at the same time, and we complain because what? Nothing good to watch. We are in a world of constant change. And we cry out. We cry out for normal. We cry out for things to be. Just give me some constant. In the changing place I live, just give me some constant. Give me something that doesn't change. Something I can hold my hand onto, that in the environment of change, I can say, at least this will be always the same. Let's turn to Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6.
I, the Lord, do not change, so you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed.
One thing is never going to change, church. God's not changing.
Amen.
And he doesn't change even though there are different denominations in this world and faith practices that want to make him something that he's not. He is not going to change.
Amen.
He is on the throne and he sits upon it, and he did not give that authority to any man or any woman. He sits enthroned and says, I do not change. You can change. Your doctrine can change. Your theology can change. Your moral compass can change, but I change not. How many are thankful that God does not change? He's the same today as he was yesterday, and he will be the same tomorrow. And he's not moving.
Amen.
He's not changing. In a world of constant change, God says, I, the Lord, do not change. Your way of thinking can change. Your political correctness can change. Your way you look at life can change. But God says what? I do not change. I wonder how many of us at times want to recreate God in our image and in our likeness. We want to put God in a box and we want to define him. Well, listen, church, God's too big to put in your box. And it's he who created you, and you did not create him. And he says, and I do not what?
Change.
I am the same today as I will be tomorrow. Oh, church, there is a never-changing God in an ever-changing world. And that we will always know. And there are some things in God's plan that will not change. Turn to Romans 6:23.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
The wages of sin is what? Death. Whether you like it, whether you agree with it, whether you want to pray it away, it doesn't matter. The wages of sin is always going to be what?
Death.
Death. All your friends can say it's not true. Society can say to you, no way, Jose, it ain't true. All the movies they're making in Hollywood and all the TV shows that you watch and every psychologist you can go to for help can tell you it's not so, but the wages of sin is what? Death. How many agree with that? It's the way it works. It's the way it works. And that's the way it's always going to work. The wages of sin will be death. A warning was given in the Garden of Eden. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 3, verse 4.
You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman.
Another constant that will not change. Satan's a liar. And he's always going to be a liar. And he is going to lie to you. And he is going to tell lies about you. And he is going to try his best to convince you that what God said, God meant, he doesn't mean at all. He's going to do everything he possibly can. Everything he possibly can to dissuade you off of God's plan in your life. He's going to say to you, like he said to Eve, you will not surely die. God wants you to have a good time. I mean, why would God create all these things in the world if he didn't want you to have a good time? Somebody said to me the other day, if you weren't supposed to eat meat, why did God make animals of them? Why do they taste so good? How many of you know we can rationalize anything, can't we? We can rationalize with the best of them, can't we? What Satan did to Eve when God clearly said to Adam and Eve, don't eat that apple, because in the day that you do, God said you will surely. He didn't say maybe. Did he?
Nope.
He didn't say possibly. He said surely. You will die. And Satan said to Eve, nah, you won't die. You won't die. And Satan has been a liar from the beginning of time, and is not changing, and is going to continue to lie. And you can take that to the bank. And how we know that he's a liar, if you look outside that window right now, where I'm looking, I can see a bunch of markers that remind me that what God said he meant.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at a whole bunch of markers right over there that tells me what God meant. Guess what? He meant. He meant. And that's never, ever going to change. It's the way it's been since the beginning of time. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 to 28.
Just as people are destined to die once, and after that to face the judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him.
You know what else is not going to change? Is Christ is coming back.
Hallelujah.
Oh, you don't have to believe it. You don't. You how many of you understand just because you don't believe something doesn't mean it's not true? Chances are pretty good in this church full of people today that there are many people that don't believe this or that. But that doesn't mean it's not true. You can believe this or that, and we could all disagree on this or that, but there is truth in the world and God holds the truth. Is that not true?
Yes.
That is true. In a little while, we were just talking. Yoshiko and Rob and I were talking in the back, you know, what we want to do about Christmas, because Christmas is coming up, right? And so we want to plan the Christmas service. So I'm going to get some new pants that fit me, by the way. That's one thing I'm going to do for sure. Sissy said these pants make me look old, right, Sissy? So I'm going to get me some pants that fit. These pants don't make my butt look big, do they? So we'll be... Sissy's going... We're planning the Christmas service in the back. You know, we'll put some kind of thing together to make Christmas special. We'll do some kind of Christmas Eve kind of thing, and maybe we'll plan some kind of skit or something like that. And maybe we'll do a lesson in carols, or, you know, we'll plan all kinds of wonderful Christmas music, and we'll have all the poinsettias up here. We'll have the candles all lit. You know, we'll have all that stuff, right? Oh, holy night. The stars are brightly shining. Oh, we'll plan all kinds of stuff, but guess what? That don't mean anything. It's about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And everybody knows the Christmas story. And everybody knows the Easter story. But they forget the third chapter of the three-chapter book.
Amen.
Jesus came wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. For there was no room for him in the inn. Oh, we all know that story quite well, don't we? We'll sing about that in a couple weeks. Oh, little town of Bethlehem. We'll be singing, away in a manger, no crib for a bed. Oh, we'll be all joyful for Christmas. And in about 5 months from then, we'll be doing the second chapter. The second chapter kind of goes like this. After 33 years of life and 3 years of ministry, from the year 30 to 33 of his life, Jesus Christ ministered and professed and claimed to be the Son of God. And then they crucified him. And they buried him. And on the third day, what? He rose. And then he what? Ascended to his Father. Oh, we'll be singing our songs. We'll plan an unbelievable Easter service. We will. We'll be planning music, and we'll have our lilies, and we'll be all joyfully dressed in our new duds. We'll be singing his praise. Jesus Christ is risen today. Ah. We'll be doing all that stuff. But what does that matter? Nothing. Oh, but there's chapter 3. Chapter 3 is he is what?
Coming back.
Coming back.
Amen.
Oh, and when he comes, church, this time he will not fit in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. Oh no! And he will not be in a tomb borrowed from Joseph of Arimathea. Oh no! He'll be coming with King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. And he's coming back, and that's the truth, whether you what? Like it or not. And when he comes, there'll be people singing too. Some people were singing his praises. Some people were singing in fear. I didn't know it was true, Lord. Oh, the truth of the matter is, in this constant changing world, that when he comes, every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Oh, that's not going to change. Whether you believe it or not, that's not going to change. It's a constant. Let's turn to our Bibles, please, in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 to 8.
Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whosoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whosoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life.
You know another thing that doesn't change? The law of the harvest. In this ever-changing world, church, the law of the harvest remains true. And you know what the law of the harvest says? You will reap what you sow. You will reap what you sow. You sow gossip, what do you get back? Gossip. You sow to destruction, what will you reap? Destruction. You sow evil, you reap evil. Be not surprised when God says, oh, I will not be mocked. You reap what you sow. But Lord, that doesn't seem fair. I don't want to reap what I sow. I don't want to get back what I plant. I want to plant my wild oats on Friday and I want to sing my praises on Sunday. That's what I want. I want that holier than thou experience on a Sunday morning. Come in Faith Community Christian Church, sing my praises. And then Monday night I want to reap some other stuff. How many know that's not the way life works? You reap what? What you sow. Church, whatever you sow on Monday, you'll reap on Tuesday. The way life works. In this ever constant changing world, harvest time for some of us will be both discouraging and delightful. Every day along our life, we are sowing something. And whatever you sow, guess what, guys? You reap. So in all of this changing world that we live in, what is the most important constant that will never, ever change? Let's go to Romans chapter 5, verse 8.
But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
And that you need to understand. That in this world of constant change and evil abounding everywhere, God's love for you will never change. There is not one thing that you could do, there is not one thing that you could be that changes the fact that God loves you. You and me and all of us, the unlovable at times. The ones that turn our back on a holy God. The ones that are disobedient at times. God says, I will still love you. Anybody in this church ever feel like you're unlovable at times? Who's unlovable at times in this church? How many praise in God that He has never stopped loving you? Hey, there's my best friend right there, my wife Sissy, 44 years of marriage. And I know there's days I'm not so lovable. I know that. I know that about me. But I praise God that she continues to choose to love me. And I know there's days it's probably hard, right? I know Pastor Colin's perfect, right? Robin? He's perfect, huh? Yes.
Perfect for me.
But anybody thankful that God's love never ends?
Amen.
There's not one thing you can do to make Him stop loving you? Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to John 15:13.
Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend.
No greater love has anyone than to lay his life down for his friends. Jesus Christ demonstrated His love for you and for me by what? Dying on a cross. That is like crazy for me to imagine. Like God died for me. His Son. And His Son said, no one takes my life from me. I gladly what? I give it. Church, pay attention. I gladly give it. For you, James. I know all about you, James. But I'm willing to die for you. Nate, I know all about you. I'm willing to die for you. Mark, I'm willing to die for you. Is it crazy? Juanita, I'm willing to die for you. God's Son says, Barbara, I will die for you. Not because of who you're going to be, but because of who you are. What? How is that possible? That someone could love someone that much? Jeez. But He did. And that's the truth. And in an ever constant changing world of flux, that truth doesn't change. And He loves you. He died for you. Scott, that's craziness. There are those of us that would not give up our place in line at Walmart for somebody. But yet, for God to love you that much, to say to His Son, I want you to know something, Son. I love Eric so much. I want him to spend the rest of forever with me. And the only way that he can is you have to die for him. What? Is that even comprehensible? Jesus, I love Sonny so much. I need you to go die for him. What? And that's the truth. And when somebody tells you, you are not loved, that's a lie. That is a lie. And when somebody says to you, you are unimportant, that is a lie. When somebody says to you, you do not matter at all, that is a lie. Because you matter to somebody. And that somebody is a creator God who created everything that ever was. And in this ever-changing world, that will never change. You are loved. How many know that you are loved? You are loved. You are so loved. And as this church continues to get bigger, with more and more new faces, we need to let you know, and we love you too. We do. We love you too, Nate. Glad you're here. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 9.
For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast.
And here's the other truth that I'm going to close with for you today. There is no way to get to heaven except through Jesus Christ, the Son.
Amen.
And that's the truth.
Yes.
And that's not changing. You cannot ever be good enough.
That's right.
You can never, ever do enough stuff to get yourself to heaven.
Right.
You cannot be good enough. You cannot work hard enough. You cannot pray enough, put enough money in an offering plate enough, sing in a choir enough. You cannot ever do enough. But you can't ever be loved more either. You can't ever be loved more. Praise be to God who changes not. That He loves you more than anyone has ever loved you in all of creation. That He wants to spend the rest of forever with you. And that's not changing. And in this world of constant change, we're getting older. Our bodies are changing. How many understand that? We are changing. Every year you look in the mirror, you're changing. Not you? I'll preach on Glenn next week. But one thing is forever, never going to change. God's not changing. How many thank God for that?
Amen.
Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the world of constant flux and change. You never change. You are ever present, holy God. You are on the throne. You did not relinquish it. You're in charge. And we thank You for that. And we thank You, Lord, that even as our world changes, that You are ever constantly the same. And that we can hold on to. And all of God's people said,